Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 29th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna City Manager. It's not quite so sunny there today, Merritt Perry. Good morning.
Good morning. It's like a fog smoke thing.
Yeah. Yuck.
it's much nicer with it not around, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe tomorrow we'll get a little bit more active breeze and blow it all back from where it came from.
Yeah, that should be nice.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Winston, why do we say it?
Well, first, Merritt, were you listening to yesterday's show? Because there was a bit of a tease about what our why do we say it today was going to be.
I did not hear it.
Well, then, what is
you
the
missed out on Arkley, huh?
Oh, man.
What is the reason we call a gratuity a tip?
A gratuity, a tip.
Tip of the iceberg of what
I'm
was
I'm
going to
say, you know, maybe somebody gives a tip of the hat when they're saying thank you for
Oh, a
something.
Fashion statement. Okay,
maybe like so. And
formal times.
Yeah.
Years ago in English inns and taverns, it was customary for the patrons to drop a coin for the benefit of the waiters in a box placed on the wall. On this box was a little sign which said, to ensure promptness. Later, just the initials of the phrase were put on the box. T-I-P.
Way off.
I should have thought about that. That's
Yeah, I should have known that one.
That one's kind of like almost logical, yeah.
To ensure promptness, okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe you put that up in planning, too.
I'm not going there.
Gotcha, huh?
It can never be fast enough when somebody has a project on the line.
Oh, you know, and I think anybody who's had one can be sympathetic to that. You know, chomp, chomp, let's get it going, because that's in your life, that's number one.
Yeah.
It's not one of 10.
Development projects, something we've got to pay really close attention to. People have money on the line. They're either trying to build a house or build a new building for their business or get a subdivision done. And, you know, there's a lot of money that goes in. And time is critical. People want to move through those projects. And so that's something that we really like to pay close attention to. And so, you know, explaining timelines and making sure expectations are realistic and walking through people through that process of showing them, hey, this is how you can move this forward. That's a key thing that I really like to focus on.
Can people come in and get a copy of something like that? Like, here's what to expect with your project. You know, somebody who's never done, you mentioned the house building.
Yeah.
Somebody who's never had a house built, but, you know, they finally have decided, okay, we're not going to buy an existing, we're going to create one. What in the world do I expect? You know, rather than paying an architect, sorry, Alan, a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Or others, you know, or your contractor who might either have had things go through a little bit quicker than normal or a little bit slower than normal. Just so they kind of have an idea.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up. You know, that one of the things that we've done, you know, in the past, which is we've done pre-application meetings. And so we'll have people of all levels of sophistication coming through. And, you know, we'll walk them through the process. We'll have all the departments there, whether it's engineering or community development or the building official or the fire chief, to kind of walk through what the requirements are and give them a picture of what they need to do. Those are really good. And you'll have some people that come in that it's their first project ever, or sometimes you'll have an architect, an engineer, and a whole full group come in. And, you know, the more people think about their project and their specific questions, the more they get out of it. But one of the things we've done is we did get a grant through Prop 62. The state had a bunch of over-the-counter grants because what they're trying to do is encourage the development of more housing. And so one of the things that we're looking at are some different products that we can do. So updating some of our ordinances, for example, for accessory dwelling units and making it people really easy to understand. But, you know, as we were talking with our consultant group that's working on that project, is, you know, I really think some of the informational items, brochures for the development or home building process, and getting some of the things updated on our website, updating some of our zoning maps so people can understand what's where with the planning and making it more accessible, like an online GIS portal like the county has. So I think some of those outward looking things are really going to be beefed up for community development as we move through this grant. And so,
sure, reference points so that somebody kind of can become a little bit familiar with what's going on.
Yeah, and just make it simpler, because most people don't want to sit down and read your zoning code. They want a flow chart.
You found that to be the case over your career.
For some strange reason, yeah. So I'm excited about that, you know, our outward looking face and making things more straightforward for people. I think that you could never do enough of that.
Yeah, I would think dummy it down enough so that it's just regular guy words. And then if somebody needs the detail, okay, fine. Then then you come in and talk.
And I could
staff.
Even understand it. We'll get that.
You know, the phrase we use is management proof.
Yeah. You don't like seeing all the excess stuff after a while. I don't think the public does. They just want to know, how can I get my project through? What do I need to do? And more importantly, how much is it going to cost? And that's a hard one.
Yeah, I don't want to be the expert in brain surgery. I just want to kind of anticipate what to expect.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you try to teach me what's going to go on, you know. Another phrase we use is don't answer questions that aren't being asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just make it basic.
Probably a good rule of thumb for this program, too.
Well, we have had some interesting shares.
Yeah. No, but I'm excited about that. And I think, you know, kind of streamlining our process and our outward looking face for development projects, it's good. And I'm glad to see the state putting some money behind that to make, you know, home building, home development easier.
Has the activity level at City Hall kind of calmed down a little bit, other than I'm sure that there's a lot of people trying to get new construction going now because of the demand in the housing sector. But other than that, is it kind of settled a little bit so that you might have a little time to get some of these types of projects punched out in a quicker time?
Not really. No. Things seem busy to me. You know, there's a lot of things happening. We have a number of big projects on the forefront. You know, the communication is more challenging, though. We're not seeing as many people coming in other than, you know, routine things, paying utility bills or coming to buy their dog license. We're not seeing as much activity at City Hall. We still are having in-person pre-application meetings with all the safety rules required for COVID and small groups. But it seems like there's a lot of development projects coming through, a lot of building projects coming through. We're in election
year. Kind of like the old days?
Yeah. It just doesn't seem like it slowed down. If you drive through town, there's a lot of activity. And so we're hopeful that, you know, as the sales tax continues to come through and the financial stability of the city, you know, that, you know, it's not as big a hit as we are anticipating, because we wanted to be conservative with our budget estimate. And, you know, actually the last quarter of the last fiscal year actually came in slightly above the prior year. So
Q2 for most of us came in a little bit higher.
It came in a little bit higher.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Quarter 4 of last year's.
Well, for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm talking.
You're on the calendar.
Again, I'm regular guy here, Ryan.
Yeah. So we're hopeful. You know, I think a lot of people with, you know, the higher unemployment benefits, the PPP, people are spending money and doing projects.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, as you project things out, you know, we're kind of in the middle of summer, sort of, fall, kind of. I mean, officially by everybody's calendar, we're into fall now.
My favorite time of year.
Not this year, baby. What are you guys looking at? What are you anticipating? Are you thinking, is it going to be, I'm starting to see some Christmas stuff, that Christmas may be, it's going to be different, but it might be a stronger Christmas, particularly if it's a local Christmas, you know, that some of the Amazon buys aren't necessarily going to be happening this year, but they're going to be kind of bringing it back to local a little bit. So a change is going on. What kind of sense do you have of how Fortuna has changed in the last little bit?
Well, you're already to Christmas, and we're not even to Halloween yet. So you're moving along with the new retail trends. I can't tell.
Well,
but
no, my question is, what Halloween? Wasn't that outlawed in California by the governor?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that.
But actually, I'm on to Thanksgiving.
You know, I don't know, Brian. That's an interesting question. You know, I think it would be great if people were more interested in shopping local and having an opportunity to go out. And, you know, if they're going to buy gifts, buy them locally and get out with their family for the holidays and maybe get to some of those shops that they – they haven't in the past. Just people looking forward to that experience of being out and being around, you know, other people, or at least being in stores, if not around a lot of people. So I think that would be a great trend if we could see that. And I think there will be a desire from people to kind of experience the holidays in some way. So I hope that happens.
Well, it would be interesting to do a store survey now, or product mix, I guess, if you're, you know, coming from behind your desk, of what there is now versus 20 years ago. Just what types of businesses are, what types of businesses aren't. Do you have an undue concentration of this, undue concentration of that? And kind of like almost try to manage your store mix, so to speak. You know, who's missing? Why is UPS driving until 8 o'clock at night?
Right.
Why is the mail delivering on Sundays? I mean, there's some really strong indicators that we're missing a whole bunch of stuff. Now, whether or not it's economically viable to have those locations, that's a different ballgame. But I wonder if there's, you know, try to buy a pair of headphones right now.
Right. Some of the basic goods that you want to get locally.
The option doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah, you know, I don't have a great sense for that. I think in the past you probably saw people doing, you know, a higher percentage of their shopping locally, because obviously there wasn't online shopping. That really wasn't an option. So
yeah, but you had catalog.
You had catalog, right? But that, you know, that took a long time. I mean, you weren't seeing something show up in 2 days from Sears.
Yeah, that's weird.
Or the next day from Sears from, right, you know, halfway across the country. I mean, that's really pretty amazing. So I think for the basic goods that people turn to the local stores, and, you know, those stores could probably count on that revenue of selling the day-to-day goods, where now I think that's less certain and they really have to fit more into a niche market, you know, or just those real common things that people pick up so routinely they don't want to wait in the mail.
Does the city do any retail studies or I mean, I know you monitor the tax stuff, but is there any effort? And it might be under the chamber, it might be under
FBID,
but to find out from the general citizenry, what do you want? What are we missing?
Yeah,
what would you like?
FBID's really taken the lead in that, and they've done some studies and they've done some surveys. And actually, I'm going to be meeting with Diana Rios, who is the director for FBID, on the 6th, and they have some grants to try to promote local business. But the city has not really been, you know, in a role where we've kind of done those kind of surveys and really tried to understand those bigger trends. Of course, we want to support our businesses and do what we can from the city perspective, but that's not something we've done a lot of lately. But maybe that's something we should get into a little bit more.
Yeah, well, and it's always going to be an ROI, either for the time or the money. You know, what does 5% recapture or 10% recapture look like?
Is it
worth your time?
Yeah.
Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know.
And I think for us, a lot of times, you know, the business drives, what we want to do is stay out of their way and make sure they can do what they want to, you know, help them with their developments, get their projects in. And, you know, the business owners understand the demand, and that's not, you know, something necessarily that the city can project. You can encourage it for businesses that are there or want to come in, but hard to, you know, really hard to, you know, be the catalyst for that.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, how many more marijuana retail stores do we need?
Right. Well, we're at zero.
I know. That's why I kind of checked off on it. But now I feel better because I shared. Is there any traction on the big property in the middle of town that has had interest for years? But is this kind of the window when people are seeing the opportunity, you know, on the big scale,
or
are they holding back?
We have had some inquiries, and there have been some different businesses and public agencies that have talked to the property owner, which is the Town of Scotia Corporation. And, you know, that's the first thing a lot of people ask. And, you know, so one of the things that we're looking at right now is we've applied for a grant to do a specific plan and really put together, you know, right now the I might get this backwards, but the land use designation is mixed use, which is a mix of, you know, business and production, light industrial and housing, and the zoning is industrial. So it's a little bit schizophrenic. Those two things don't overlap. And so in my opinion, what the city really needs to do is put together a specific plan, have a public process of what do we want to see there? You know, I think the city's really open to...
So you do know how to talk to the public.
A little bit. But, you know, I think what's really important is, you know, I think the city would entertain an idea of anybody who wants to come in there and look at all options. But if we can put some things on the table, identify infrastructure costs, then you know, that's going to make an investment easier to understand for somebody who does want to come in.
It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry, City Manager for Fortuna. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Merritt, as you are considering now, we've got the political window that's going on. We have some of the edicts coming out of Sacramento that, some of them are very, very... tertiary, and others are some pretty significant structural components. What kind of sense do you have? Is this a calm period for the next 2 or 3 years? Do you think it's going to be a period of a lot of change? The goofy thing with the vehicles, I guess, is already being contested that he doesn't have the authority to do that. That's nothing that a governor can mandate. But the platitudes versus the actual structural. Do you see we're going to have actual structural changes going on, or do you think it's still going to be pretty much where we are?
You know, hard to say. One of the things I've learned since, you know, being involved in city management is you kind of see how the cities group together and weigh in on what the state level politics, require. Of the local agencies. And, you know, there's a pretty strong lobby on behalf of the California cities. And, you know, so I see emails, detailed analysis when you have these legislative proposals come through and what's happening in the legislative sessions. And, you know, they make a big deal. And really, our only power to control that as cities is to band together, weigh in, try to lean on the state level legislators and let them know what the impact is on the city and on communities from those new state laws or state requirements. And so...
Well, and even that voice might be split because L.A. may benefit and Fortuna may get its teeth kicked in.
That's right. So then you have some of the small, you know, communities that band together and then they have a lobby, you know, and then you have to look at, you know, where the electeds are coming from and, you know, it could be a diverse one like, you know, on our North Coast, it goes from the Bay Area all the way up to Humboldt County. You know, that's a tough one because you have different communities that want different things, but... Yeah, you know, I don't know. I didn't see the electric, you know, obviously at some point it makes sense there's going to be more and more electric vehicles over time, but to see something like that, mandate for no gas powered vehicles, you know, that's a surprise. I don't know if you were looking at that beforehand. I mean, those things, I think they come out and
I'm still trying to figure out the thing. Why did all these the guys with the big boy trucks have to buy new ones instead of being able to just update their existing one? And what was the cost of that to all of the
diesel emissions requirements and the CARB requirements.
Yeah. Just boom, there you are. You got 2 or 3 years and, if it costs you a couple million or a couple hundred million, you should be putting that money aside anyway.
And that hits, that hit places like the city hard. We have generators that power our different pump stations around the city and we have portable generators and, those are expensive, $100,000 for some of those or more.
And the other one was working.
Other equipment, dump trucks, our heavy equipment too. And that's a huge cost to the city. And, we do a good job of maintaining those and don't necessarily have a lot of hours or miles on certain vehicles. And to replace something that is working perfectly well, that, we've been slowly changing over trying to get to the higher tiers or the lower tiers for the emissions.
But thankfully, there's Oregon and Nevada where there's a secondary market.
Somebody's going, look at this sweet deal I got dump truck. It hardly
look at these goofies years. Over in Fortuna. Yeah. Look what I got.
Yeah. We'll have some generators coming up soon. No, it's it's a big hit, you know, and for business owners, I'm sure, trying to replace equipment. You know, you look at some of the business owners that have made their equipment last and know how to take care of their equipment, that's, you know, they don't have those big equipment expenses, and, you know, that's a huge hit to them.
Yeah, so that's cool. Now, is there anything pending in Fortuna that you're looking at? You know, we talked a little bit about the old mill site. You got Riverwalk that you're trying to develop and get some stuff done, but
yeah,
you know, that's really close to the river, and you're, even though you're outside the coastal zone, you still got the river and fish and game, or whatever they're called these days, concerns and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, we do have one project to purchase some of that old vacant land just north of the River Lodge for a park. And then we're also, one of the things that we're doing right now that would affect every Fortuna citizen is we're working on an upgrade to the city's treatment plant. And we've been mandated by the state to come up with a new disposal alternative and to upgrade our treatment plant to meet more stringent effluent limitations. And so later today, one of the things we have on the table is negotiating a contract with a consultant. We put out an RFP. So we're getting ready to move forward with design, property acquisition for new disposal areas. But this possibly could be the most expensive project in city history. And, you know, what we keep looking at when we see the price on these projects, we've kind of narrowed down to a few projects. But every time we're looking at the alternatives, I want to know what that's going to mean to rates. You know, so if you look at our rates compared, you know, water and sewer combined compared to a lot of the other cities, right now we're at, you know, either the lowest or one of the two lowest in the county. And we want to try to keep it that way. So...
Yeah, you don't want to overachieve on this one.
You don't want to overachieve on this one, but that's a big deal. You know, we've talked to different businesses that have considered coming in, and they want to know what their wastewater rates are going to be. You know, that's a real cost, and so that's one of the things we're keenly aware of, is trying to keep the cost of doing business low, and by, you know, keep it maintaining low water and sewer rates, that's one way that we could do that as well.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Eric.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, last time we saw each other, I was gimpier and so were you.
Yeah.
But we were talking about roads and the construction, the overpass and the exchange and getting things ready for the mill site and. Has that been progressing during summertime, or have things kind of been changed?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the bigger, you know, so Fortuna has a couple bottlenecks. They're called the Kenmar Interchange and the 12th Street Interchange, you know, because they were configured back in the 60s, lower traffic volumes, you know, in the city of Fortuna. And so if you look at, you know, the projected growth, more homes, development of the mill site, more development of the Riverwalk, you know, they're not really conducive to more traffic, and they have no pedestrian facilities. So we did a planning study that really looked at kind of a double roundabout scenario, not unlike what you see at Giantoli and Arcata. And so we did receive some funding through the State Transportation Improvement Program to do the design and permitting for one of those. And so we chose the Kenmar Interchange to proceed with. So we're actually, some surveying's been happening out there lately, and we have some concepts for that. So
you're not going to put it under the overpass.
Yeah, the same overpass would stay there. So it would be right on either side underneath it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of like an extended figure eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So it'd be two a roundabout on either side. And so that way people coming, you know, for now, right now people get off 101 in the evenings when they're coming home from Eureka. And then you see people back up onto the highway. You see congestion at South Fortuna Boulevard. You know, people sitting at Riverwalk.
That's what I was saying. That intersection with the lights is probably as much of a challenge as the other two locations.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at right now. We're in the design and permitting phase for that. And then what we'll be having to look for is the construction money and right-of-way money.
Can the commercial rigs go through that? Or is that just a reflection of the size of the donut?
We would actually have to design for STAA trucks. And so we, you know, we're not on a company.
I know you like doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Surface Transportation. I can't remember the whole acronym. But anyway,
the big boys,
the big trucks that are coming in, and Caltrans has been working on projects to open up 101 and 299 for a long time and removing the bottlenecks. And so we have to plan for that eventuality. And so anything that we did would have to accommodate STAA trucks, and then would accommodate
just in case Richardson's Grove opens up.
Right, right. Yeah. Somehow they sneak in here every once in a while too. So
yeah. Well, that's that 299 thing.
Yeah, it's a 299. So, any, you know, that's going to more than accommodate the type of vehicles that we're currently seeing on the city and the city of Fortuna Road.
And there's enough space?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some of the layouts that have been done, and we had a number of public meetings to share those with the public. And, you know, I'd really like to find a way to kind of get 12th Street going too. You know, the problem is, you know, from a safety perspective, you know, they're kind of clunky interchanges and people get stuck and there's traffic there, but we're not seeing a lot of accidents, you know, and if there's more accidents, then it's easier to attract money, but we're just not seeing that. So,
paying attention, they're driving slow.
They're driving slow, but they're just.
So let's have a new campaign. Drive quickly.
Get hurt and find money to fix it.
No, not get hurt. Just, you know, fender bender.
Yeah.
At 20.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, you know, and when the state looks at those things, you know, they're balancing it out with all their other projects. And, you know, so it really becomes incumbent on the city. We want to see it for our future growth and the more traffic that's going to be generated. But the state's looking at it more from, you know, the condition of the roadway and traffic safety. And so it's a lower priority for them, but the state, but a higher priority for the city.
Well, hopefully we'll hear some progress on that one, too, next time.
I hope so. But yeah, we will be advancing
a couple days before Halloween.
And at some point we'll have permits, but at some point we're going to be pushing for construction funding for that.
Cool. Nice to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.